to the Entertainment Docket for the week of January 7th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and recovering Melissa Hansen.
I am. Yeah, I told everybody last time, right, I can't shake my cold.
Yep.
So it's better, as you can probably hear from my voice, but I'm sure I'll be coughing at least once during the broadcast, right. So well, just ignore that.
Finger on the cough button there. Yeah. So how's your weekend entertainment been?
I saw a couple. This is, I feel like Eric, like the old movies I've seen,
if
I was caught up with. But a couple smaller things that people probably have not seen. I'm sure some of our writers have, especially the second one I'll talk about. But I saw, they're both on Netflix. I saw Extract. It's about a vanilla extract company.
Yeah, that's one with
Jason Bateman.
Yes, thank you.
And Mila Kunis and Kristen Wiig.
Oh, I didn't know she was in that.
Yeah, she plays Jason Bateman's wife. So anyhow, Jason Bateman plays this nice guy that owns this small company, and they make extracts for baking.
Okay.
And then this is going to sound not nearly
this
as
is the Mike
fun
Judge
as it was.
Movie. This is Mike Judge's follow-up to Office Space.
Bingo, this is Mike Judge.
Okay.
So those of you who like Office Space, and I don't know, maybe totally I just missed out on this, and you all may know about it and think it's wonderful, but Jason Bateman, Kristen Wiig plays his wife, their relationship's kind of falling apart, and J.K. Simmons is like his business partner.
Okay.
And then Mila Kunis plays this con artist who ends up getting like involved in his life. But then his good friend is this bartender he used to work with, but this old guy who's bartending at like a hotel bar, and he's kind of really typical kind of druggy guy and you pothead, and like he has like shoulder length kind of curly hair, and he's always like, dude, and he's always giving him this horrible, horrible advice.
Yeah.
And it's played by Ben Affleck.
Nice.
It's like you totally would not expect Ben in this role, and he totally has fun with it.
Oh, cool.
It ends up being a really cute, sweet movie.
I don't think it did well at the box office.
Oh, I'm sure not. But it's really a fun movie.
All right.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats. Opening weekend, it made $5 million. Ugh. Its total gross was $10
million. Oh, jeez.
No, but it's a really cute, and Jason Bateman, like if you like him for Arrested Development, it's kind of a similar character.
Oh, all right.
It's a good guy. Things kind of go wrong for him. He makes stupid decisions, but still, he's trying to, like, keep his life together.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. It's a really cute. Oh, and the best, I didn't tell you the other small role in it.
Yeah.
There's a lawyer who's like one of the billboard lawyers.
Oh, you know, like on the back of the bus kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those kinds.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons.
No way.
So good. It's like the most random thing when he shows up. Anyhow, it's a really cute, sweet, fun movie. It's kind of a cute date movie. And it's cute and fun to watch. And then the other one I watch, I know some of our reviewers know this one, but I don't know how much all you listeners will. Battle Royale.
Oh, that's the, isn't it Korean?
Yes, it's from 2000. And it's basically like a Hunger Games.
Okay.
It's these students, this class, going on a class trip, and they all wake up after being drugged on the bus, and they're on a deserted island in a classroom.
Oh my God.
And they have 3 days, and they have to go kill each other.
Oh, jeez.
And only the one survivor gets off.
Wow.
Ridiculous. And this is not my kind of movie.
What made you watch that?
It was one of those things. It was like, oh, let's watch this action.
Okay.
And it was, like, I'd heard something about it, and like, I don't know. It was, at some points they didn't show some violence, and then other points they showed massive violence.
Yeah.
But it was like just a blood spurting all over the place kind of violence. Like ridiculous over the top.
Definitely not your kind of movie.
Not at all. I loved it.
Ah.
Totally great. It was totally fun. And I mean, it is. If you can't handle blood at all, then don't watch this. But I see why it's gotten a bit of a cult following. It's ridiculous. It's over the top, but it like pulls you in. And also, can I tell you, I don't know why we're all upset about all these like automatic weapons. Because according to this movie, you have to be shot at least 25 times with one of them before you die. And you may get shot like a dozen times and then get up and say some things and
walk,
and then get shot another dozen times and finally die.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So just so you know.
Wow.
Well. So yeah, if you, I don't know who I'm recommending this to, because if it's your kind of movie, I'm sure you've already seen it.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then totally steer clear. But it's, anyhow, I finally saw it, and it was really kind of fun to watch.
And it's in Korean with English subtitles. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to put on subtitles. Yeah. But yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah, I get why this has gotten like a big following.
Yeah.
And awards and like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
All right. Yeah, so. I want to say Patrick Bromley reviewed it for us.
Yeah, yeah, he did. And it's actually Japanese.
Oh, it's Japanese. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And it's the very typical. And it's so funny because, you know, the whole like Japanese schoolgirl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. They're totally like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're right before they're getting shot. But.
Oh, geez.
And I put my hand in front of my mouth while I was doing it.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, give you the full picture there. But anyhow.
All right. Well, it's available on Netflix, right?
Yep.
All right. We can check
yeah,
that out.
I guess there's a second one. I did not watch the second one, but according to Bromley, it sucks. So
oh,
just
okay.
Be like me and go with the first, and that's it.
All right. There you go.
All right.
Well, I made it to the theater to see The Hobbit, finally. On New Year's Day, which I thought it would be very quiet. Everybody would be home watching the Rose Parade and football and stuff.
Yeah.
But no, at 11 o'clock matinee, the place was jam-packed. So, I had recently watched all three of the extended edition Blu-rays for Lord of the Rings trilogy, and that's a lot of Peter Jackson Middle Earth to kind of sit through. So, you know, I was interested to see The Hobbit, but I wasn't, like, overwhelmingly falling all over myself to get there.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, it's more the same. You know, I enjoyed reading the book as a kid. I saw a stage production of it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Rankin-Bass animated version of it. You know, I've gotten my fill of The Hobbit. And the fact that it's spread out over three films.
That's my thing. I would have been there, like, opening day if it was one film.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother because I don't want to see three of them.
Didn't see it in 3D, didn't see it in the high frame rate, saw it in the regular, you know, 24 frame per second. And I really enjoyed it, and that's what surprised me.
Okay.
Martin Freeman, and now Dave and Dan made mention of this on Objection, Martin Freeman owns this movie.
Wow.
I mean, he is the heart and soul of this film.
Yeah, and he's really good. I really, really enjoy him. I mean, I loved him in The Office.
Right.
And he's so great on Sherlock, but he's like always kind of secondary.
Yeah.
He's not the kind of actor that owns things.
This is all him. I mean,
that's great.
Granted, the ensemble cast, Barry Humphreys, right? Dame Edna?
Yeah.
Plays the Goblin King.
I knew that.
It's
that
a beautiful
brilliant.
CG role. Of course, it's a CG creature, but Barry does this amazing character that you just, he's not on screen for very long before he meets his untimely end, but it's a beautiful character. Ian McKellen is, of course, fantastic, as he is in everything that he does. And there is no differentiation between the Gandalf we saw in the first three films and the Gandalf we've seen here.
Okay.
There is a lot more to the story than was in the book. There's a lot more characters that were in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I think what I love the most is nothing feels force-fit. Nothing feels like retroactively positioned to fit his Lord of the Rings trilogy. It all feels extremely natural. And the subtext that could have been there in Tolkien's original book, which, of course, he didn't write this as a prequel to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. He wrote this as a standalone story,
mm-hmm.
and then the themes and stuff spun out, and he created these other books out of it.
Right.
So to kind of weave in these themes and subtext and taking characters that were written in other pieces of text that Tolkien had written later in his life and kind of weaving them back. It's very seamless. It's very natural. Andy Serkis gets more time to really play with Gollum. All of the graphics and everything are extremely believable here. I was thoroughly impressed, and it didn't feel like, you know, an arduous time at the theater, which is what I was afraid it was going to be.
Yeah, and those were like my two questions. Did it feel like overly long?
No, nope, it didn't.
And did it feel like totally incomplete?
No, it felt you know that there's more story coming, obviously, because the dragon, Smaug, is only briefly alluded to. You see him in glimpses, and you see him at the very end. And it's interesting because he opens his eye, and his eye is basically the eye of Sauron, which we see in, you know, as the horror of the next three films. Mm-hmm. So interesting. And Benedict Cumberbatch is his voicing the dragon, which we do not get to hear in this first film, but we will in the second too.
Oh, speaking of Sherlock.
Right.
Nice.
So I'm curious. I'm really curious if he can pull this off again. I wasn't expecting it, but Jackson has this amazing way of...
And that's the thing. He pulled off one really great Hobbit movie. Can he pull off two more?
Exactly. So we shall see.
I don't know if anybody can.
I don't know, but I have officially lost my faith in humanity now that we saw who won the box office this weekend.
Yeah, you all should be ashamed.
Crying out loud.
Yeah, this is a really great way to keep listeners. Yell at everybody like every week.
Oh, God.
Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Ugh.
2 million.
And I know they didn't go out just to see Clint Eastwood's son. You know, this is not what they were going to see.
No.
They were going to see blood and guts.
I don't know. I guess after all the, like, animated and kids movies we've been watching and all the big, you know, kind of, like, Award point season. Pictures yeah. we've seen, big point to make or lessons or whatever, people needed a break.
Maybe, or just, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm totally trying to rationalize
this. Yeah, I know you are.
Anyhow, that came in number one. Django Unchained with 20 million.
Which is
not too far behind it.
Yeah, I have to see that.
Yeah, and then The Hobbits, 17.5 million. Yep. Les Mis, 16 million. And Parental Guidance, 10 million.
Les Mis is not the big blockbuster that they were expecting it to
be. Total gross, just over 100 million.
Yeah, people haven't been falling over themselves.
And, compare it. It sounds like a lot, right? Okay, 100 million, Les Mis. Yeah. The Hobbit is almost 270 million total.
They came out within, I think, 7 days of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're fairly close, and that's huge gap overall. So, yeah.
Well, we've got some other big high profile things coming out this Friday. We've got Zero Dark 30.
Which is now being investigated.
Oh, please.
Like the government wants, or people in the government want to investigate it, like how they found out this information.
You know what? Figure out your whole fiscal cliff thing and then start worrying about some of this other stuff.
Yeah.
Catherine Bigelow, who did The Hurt Locker, who is James Cameron's ex-wife, who is a very talented filmmaker in her own right. This is the intense, controversial.
Yes, at the Oscars last time. Okay.
Right. So this is the controversial retelling of Osama bin Laden's assassination by U.S. Special Forces. And it's been getting a lot of play, and because it's been released and limited to make the awards season screeners and all this. So a lot of people have seen this already, but it's nationwide, as wide release.
Yes.
Same thing goes for Gangster Squad, which is Sean Penn playing 1940s gangster Mickey Cohen, who's trying to take over Los Angeles. And again, Josh Brolin, Ryan Gosling, Nick Nolte, you know, some heavy hitters in that.
Quite a cast there.
Yep. Then we have Struck by Lightning, which is Chris Colfer's first screenplay. From Glee, Chris Colfer from Glee, which, if I remember correctly, when you telling me that he wrote this while he was working, and he would just steal away from the set and write some stuff and then come back to it. And it's
the
story of a young man being struck and killed by lightning, and then he recalls after death how he blackmailed all of his classmates into contributing to his literary publication. But the co-stars in this are Allison Janney, Dermot Mulroney, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, and Modern Family's Sarah Hyland. So.
And Rebel Wilson,
yes.
Who has just totally hit it big this year with Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
People now know who she is.
She's so damn funny.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty sweet cast for kind of your first bit writing.
Right, exactly.
Movie.
And then speaking of funny, you've got Marlon Wayans, he wrote this screenplay for A Haunted House, which is basically a genre picture from the perspective of a young black American couple who inherit this haunted house. And Eddie Murphy always did that bit about the white family stays and goes, you know, get out of the house. They're like, oh no, let's go to the basement and see what the voice is coming from.
Right.
Where the black couple's like, pack your bags, kids, we're out.
Yep. Get out.
But Cedric the Entertainer, J.B. Smoove, Nick Swardson, Dave Koechner, a lot of Marlon's friends. And, you know, the Wayans brothers get a bad rap because of all those scary movies and all that kind of crap that they did. But those that family is incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we'll oh, yeah, and for generations, too.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So,
yeah, because yeah. Damon's son is now on Happy Endings.
Right.
And he did the pilot for New Girl with Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah.
Oh, and I missed that.
Then
okay.
got replaced.
Oh, I missed that it was him. Yeah. I mean, I knew they had a different actor in...
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say it. The black role.
Yes.
In the pilots.
Yes.
And then they switched to a different black guy.
Right, because because Happy Endings got renewed.
Yeah.
So okay. he couldn't do it.
All right.
All right, coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got Frankenweenie, Tim Burton's... revisiting his first live-action short and expanding the story. But here's my thing about this. So I watched Paranorman and Frankenweenie back-to-back last
night. No, don't rip on Frankenweenie.
I'm not trying to rip on it, but I watched the original live-action short first, which we both adore. And it's,
yeah, I rewatched that before I went and watched the movie. Yeah,
I love it. And,
I've watched it a few times throughout the years. So.
Yeah, as well as Tim's other short, which was Vincent, which is this kid's obsession with Vincent Price, and I love that one as well. But there's a passion there. There's a heartfelt sincerity, and though they were incredibly faithful to the live action film mm-hmm. with all the stuff they did, even with the neighbor, the short fat neighbor who's like, "It tried to eat my Norman." it seemed to be missing something for me.
Well, and was it, because I talked about this when it was in the theater and I saw it, they added this huge chunk of story.
Yeah.
That they needed to for runtime.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because it took it away from what this was, this boy and his dog story. Right. It's a boy and his dog right. story.
And heartfelt. And it's all there. The story is there from start to finish.
It's all there. But did it get lost then with that new chunk?
I think so. And what really...
That's my problem with
what
it.
What struck me is... So Martin Landau plays the science teacher, right? And it's kind of a mix of Bela Lugosi meets Vincent Price.
Mm-hmm.
But he has this line in there about Victor is so concerned because his first experiment that brought Sparky back to life was so successful and worked so well. And then when he did it for his friend Edgar... His mm-hmm. heart wasn't in it. And a science teacher said it's more, science is more than just in the mind. It's in the heart.
Right.
And I'm thinking this is a metaphor
so it's movie
for
making.
Tim's whole career lately. I don't think his heart is in these films. If you go back to Tim's early films, like Beetlejuice, like Pee-wee's Big Adventure, there is a sweet, like Batman Returns, there's a sweet sincerity that is so much him in all of this. But mm-hmm. in these later films, it feels like there's Tim Burton, the brand, and people are
bingo, and that's what he has become. He has become a brand.
Right, and it's lost so much of him, and I don't feel that...
We expect such specific things from his movies that if we didn't get it, I think we'd all be pissed.
Yeah. And I think that was the stark contrast for me, because Paranorman was created by the people who did Coraline, which is Henry Selick, who worked with Tim on Nightmare Before Christmas, and Henry went and did this, but these were more people from Henry's team who went off and did Paranorman, and it is so heartfelt and so intimate. It touches on all the stuff that Burton used to do extremely well, which I found so lacking in Frankenweenie.
Mm.
And that was the disappointment for me. I mean, technically, it still looks beautiful. I mean, it looks like a Burton film. It sounds like a Burton film. But I just think that heart is missing from it. So.
Okay.
Just my opinion.
Yeah, I think I would probably twist that a little bit, and I would be like, it's there, but then it gets overshadowed with the other part, the new part of the story.
So, well, I'll have to watch it again. But other things coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got Carl Urban starring in Dread, which is the Judge Dread reboot of the comic book anti-hero.
Yeah.
You've got Julianne Moore playing Sarah Palin opposite Ed Harris's John McCain in HBO's election year biopic Game Change, which she looks freakishly like Sarah Palin. It's really
she really cool. does.
Jennifer Lawrence does a horror movie. I don't know why. She doesn't need the money, but House at the End of the Street. We've got NBC's mid-season smash, which kind of takes the Glee concept to Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
It worked a surprising effect. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I enjoyed the first season.
Yeah, I did. I kept getting taken out of it by Deborah Messing's wardrobe, though. Crazy. Okay.
And then Charlie Sheen and his incredible Teflon-coated life continues. Anger Management, the first season, is coming to DVD this week. Over at Netflix, we've got Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby.
Ooh.
Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau in The Odd Couple. Kevin Costner and Robert De Niro in The Untouchables. Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth, which I still have not seen, about global warming. I need to check that out.
He's the job now.
Yeah, that's right. His TV network just sold to Al Jazeera.
Yep.
So weird. And I interviewed for a job with those guys when I was still in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see this change. I really wonder how the switchover is going to go. And I wonder how much backlash they're going to get, or how many people, because it's Al Jazeera, how many people won't watch, or if there's going to be protests.
And they were this fiercely independent, you know, grassroots news organization, right? It's like broadcasting out of
their biggest, but it's also by one of the biggest, and some would argue one of the best news agencies in the whole world.
Yeah, that's true.
Can I tell you, I mean, when stuff's happening, like, in the world, I don't go to U.S. news sources. I go to Al Jazeera.
Well, that was the Egypt uprising. I watched Al Jazeera on my computer because they had the best coverage of what was going on.
Yep.
So
it'll be interesting to see what the effects are, how it will change, and just how people, American people, will respond to it.
Yeah, now that it's here. Interesting. And one other thing, Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange in the 1976 version of King Kong. It's cheesy, it's over the top, and I still love it. Not much going on at Hulu at all. Very little. Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin in Camilla, which is a very small little romantic tale. Lars Tate, Joe Morton, and Matt Morris Chestnut star in The Inkwell. And then we've got a documentary of one of your favorite cities in the world, London, A City in Time.
Ooh, I'll have to check that out. Thank you.
Over at Hulu. So I'll throw it over to you for television.
Okay. Everybody ready? Got your calendars? Got your pens?
Yep.
You're going to have to take notes on this one. Because we are starting mid-season.
And we
are starting award season. So, here we go. Monday night. Bravo. Vanderpump Rules, which is a spinoff of Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, God.
Vanderpump. She's one with a little dog.
I don't know any of these women, but they're multiplying, and I can't stand it.
So anyhow, and they're all getting all their own shows. So anyhow, that's on Bravo Monday. NBC Deception, there's been sneak previews to the pilot, but that's starting for real. Monday, ABC The Bachelor is back. Tuesday, Pretty Little Liars is back on ABC Family. Cougar Town is back. Woo-hoo! Except it's on NBC. Or it's not on NBC. Yes. It's on CBS now.
Yes.
That's what I meant to say. So that switch, it got canned. It got picked up again. It's the same cast.
Okay.
Same show, but over on TBS, starting on Tuesday. And then Justified is back on FX. On Wednesday, Washington Heights. It's a new MTV reality series. I am sure they will find hot tubs somewhere for that. There has to be at least one in Washington Heights. And then CBS has People's Choice Awards. Thursday, again, it's got previewed before, but is on for real now, 1600 Penn on NBC.
Yeah.
It's the Bill Pullman, Jen Elfman president.
Yes.
Show. And then Kathy Griffin is starting her new show on Bravo. It's a talk show called Kathy.
Which she was promoting on New Year's Eve when she was with Anderson Cooper.
Of course. I mean, that's all the girl does is promote herself. She's damn good at it. She's good at it. I like her. I mean, I know some people hate her. I really like her, but she's good at what she does, and that's promoting herself. Anyhow, so if you're a fan of hers, you want to check out her talk show. And then Critics Movie Choice Awards is on CW.
What the heck is that?
I don't know. It's an award show, but it's different than the others.
Right,
which
of course. Does,
they're all different from each other. Whatever. I don't know. Anyhow. Sunday Girls is back. Along with Enlightened on HBO.
Which we've reviewed both of those recently on Verdict too.
Yeah, the past season.
Yeah.
And then on Showtime, Shameless and House of Lies are back.
Okay.
And then Sunday is also the Golden Globes on NBC.
Which is often an interesting evening.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we'll tweet that or not, but we'll see.
So, anyhow. So, yep. And then most of the shows are back this week to regular times and places and
Except for J.J. Abrams' hot new show, Revolution, which is not coming back until March 25th.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and this is just the beginning. We're going to be doing this. Yeah, basically January, February, March, we have new shows starting all the time. So yeah. I will help you keep up with that.
All right. Well, thank you.
Music this week. We're still not back to all the big stuff, but we have a whole bunch of soundtracks.
Oh.
Chaplin, the musical, the original Broadway cast recording is out this week, along with Tron Uprising.
Okay. That's the TV show.
Music, yep. From, I love this. Music from and inspired by the series.
I hate that.
So that's out. Stand Up Guys, which is a new movie coming out. The soundtrack to that is out this week. And The Girl soundtrack, Volume 1. Speaking of the show coming back, we can now listen to the music from the first season.
Okay.
But one more thing in music this week. They are re-releasing the soundtrack to the movie Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh.
Because it's been 50 frickin' years.
Shut up.
Nope.
Wow.
So anyhow, yep. So that is out again on CD. Huh. You are a fan of that one. Books this week. General Stanley McChrystal, who was in charge of the U.S. forces in Afghanistan.
Oh.
He has a memoir out called My Share of the Task. And then Sue Grafton, who's one of the best-selling authors.
Yes.
She has main character, Kinsey, I think it's Malone. But she has a new book called Kinsey and Me. And it's actually short stories about the character and then about her.
Huh.
She tells a little bit about her life.
Interesting.
So it's not one of the Kinsey novels. It's kind of just a special book.
Interesting.
About the character and how it relates to her. So, and then Doctor Who has a new companion. It's trivia book out for fans. And then ready, The Dude and the Zen Master by Jeff Bridges and Bernie Glassman. Bernie Glassman is in reality Jeff Bridges' Zen teacher.
No kidding.
So he, yeah. So his teacher is talking a lot about Zen, and then Jeff relates it back to his famous character.
Wow.
Very fun one. So, and on Broadway this week, it's actually not Broadway news. It's LA news, which will probably be Broadway news soon. The movie Backbeat, about the original story of the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
They made it into a musical, and it's been on the West End in London.
Oh.
And it is coming to the U.S. January 20th in L.A.
Huh.
At the Amundsen Theater.
Yep.
And this is probably going to be a pre-Broadway production. So anyhow, it's opening January, and then it'll be playing till March.
Huh.
So, and then I'm probably going to be telling you about after that it's moving to Broadway.
Okay.
So that's the hoped plan.
Interesting.
Yep.
All right. Well, as we turn to the entertainment crime blotter, the paparazzi who was stalking Justin Bieber around L.A. this past week was struck and killed by a car.
Yay.
You know, and I think the only way we're going to be able to stop this is if news sources like TMZ stop paying people exorbitant amounts of money for ridiculous footage.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he wasn't even in the car.
You know, reading those magazines and watching those shows.
Right, exactly.
Looking online and making them millions of dollars.
Right.
So they have thousands of dollars to pay them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a horrible tragedy, but I'm surprised it doesn't happen more, to be honest
with
you.
Right, and we've always, you know, we've seen countless times of these guys being run over, their foot being run over, they've been, you know, knocked down by cars. And
when you stand in front of cars, this is what happens.
I know. And Baby Biebs was photographed by somebody's camera phone as he was smoking a joint or holding a joint or something. So
yeah, is it? Is it not? It looks like a joint. I have no proof it was a joint, but
he's a teenager, right? This is what teenagers do.
Yeah, and it's interesting how little of a deal it's become in Hollywood, and how many allow themselves to be photographed.
Well, this was the thing
with joints or talk about, like, frickin' Kevin Smith. That's all he talks about now is how much he smokes pot.
Right. Well, and this was the whole thing about Prince Harry in Las Vegas, right? That the people who are allowed to have their phones to catch him half naked.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. If you're Justin Bieber and you're smoking at a party, someone's going to take a picture and it's going to get out there.
Right. Duh.
So, whatever. But then again, just how... And I think in our society in general, it's not the big of a deal. I mean, it's legalized in some places now.
That's true. Yep.
I mean, I just think we don't care so much. And we don't think of it as some big, horrible act.
But as a society, we love to build people up to tear them down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Is this really that huge of a deal?
No. But it's part of, you know, his wholesome image can now be destroyed. Like, haha, look.
Right. Oh, my God. He's not perfect.
Right.
Well, no fucking shit. He's not perfect.
Right.
First of all, he's human, and he technically, I mean, he's, I guess, technically not, like, a kid anymore,
no,
but damn close enough. He's a kid.
He's going to make the same mistakes that most of us have made, so it's all part of the process.
Anyhow.
Speaking of making mistakes, Josh Brolin was arrested for public drunkenness in Santa Monica on New Year's Day.
At least yeah, this finally, this story just came out. It took a few days, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not for DUI or something, just public drunkenness.
Yeah.
Like, and also, can I just say, downtown Santa Monica, or I don't know where it was, but, like, Main Street in Santa Monica,
right.
Like, in the evening, it's just bars.
Right, it is.
Like, everyone in that street is intoxicated. So my question is, what the hell did he do that was so bad that he stood out? And they arrested him. It must have been damn bad if he stood out, because that whole street is obnoxious drunk people every evening.
This is very true. This is very true.
Yeah,
but at least he wasn't beating up his wife. So
yeah, well, you know, step up there.
Yeah. Criminal Minds' Thomas Gibson was busted for DUI after driving through downtown Los Angeles in an area which was cordoned off for a half marathon.
Yeah, that's really swift.
Yeah.
Like, it's cordoned off. Like, again, who does he think he is? Either he was so drunk that he just didn't get it, or, like, he was so full of himself that he was like, but I want to drive on the street, and he did it anyhow.
Maybe he's one of those guys that blurs the line between, you know, his character and his real self.
But I'm an FBI agent.
Oh, my God. George Lucas, unhappier news. George Lucas has just become engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Melody Hobson.
Nice.
And former Chicago Bulls coach and LA Lakers coach Phil Jackson is now engaged to his 12-year girlfriend, who happens to be the daughter of the Lakers owner.
All right, then.
And as if this news comes as a big surprise to anybody, Hugh Hefner, who has got to be 82 years old right now, just married his latest girlfriend, Crystal Harris.
Which was also his former girlfriend.
Who dumped him. And then she realized, well, he'll be dead soon, and I'll get his money.
So
the Anna Nicole Smith thing. So, hey, I can marry an old guy and get it. Although I don't know how much money he actually has anymore. Because
I don't think he has much at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's just the property. It's just the mansion. And does that even belong to him, or does it belong to the company?
Yeah, I think Christina owns it.
I don't know. I mean, Christina runs everything. But
yeah.
I think he's blown all of his cash, pretty much, to be honest with you.
Now, he may still get money for doing speaking engagements or public appearances or something like that.
What do you mean public appearances? He never leaves that place. He never leaves there.
And I think it was the Grotto not too long ago that the whole bunch of people got sick and they had to call people in because there was some kind of fungus or something growing.
I will bet people touch something there every single day.
Yeah. And the dogs. That was the other thing. The dogs were pissing and shitting all over the mansion.
Yeah, supposedly it's come out that that place is like a fucking dump inside.
Ugh.
Like, it's just a dump.
So gross. So gross.
I don't know. But props to that man, though. That life he's led.
Yeah.
And is leading.
Yeah.
Man, hats off to him.
Yeah. All right. And I'm going to end this all on a very, not, I want to say happy note, but it's not really happy. It's an uplifting. So J.J. Abrams, we talked about him screening Star Trek Into Darkness for a filmmaker, a guy who was part of the industry, who was dying of terminal cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The man passed away this weekend.
Oh.
But he had just seen it, the film, two
days
before.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's a good way to go out.
Yeah. So in an age where, you know, we're all so focused on ourselves to do just this little simple act of kindness, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it really meant a lot to him.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So. Cool.
All right.
The other happy, uplifting news.
Yeah.
The hockey striker is over.
Oh, I forgot about that. Those guys were...
Yeah, they have a tentative deal.
Okay.
So that'll be back. It'll be, like, close to half a season.
Okay.
I think just a little over half a season.
All right.
So, anyhow, for some people, that's great news.
That is great news.
I don't know. Well, my Kardashian news, I think, is going to be pretty much all the Kardashian news for the next, well, not 9 months, but 6 months left. She's about 3 months along. So all these like details are coming out about the Kimye baby.
Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah. No, I am. No, it is. That's what people are calling it. Supposedly it was conceived, as TMZ says, talk about over the top, near the Vatican. In Italy. They were there for her birthday trip kind of thing. Because this is, you know, what rich people do. They don't have a party. They have a trip for their birthdays. But yeah, so it was supposedly conceived in Italy. So we're just going to get hundreds of bits of information that we don't even want to know. And it started rolling in all the, because she's not rich enough.
Yeah.
You know, she can't afford to buy diapers herself.
Yeah.
All the big baby places in LA are like sending her shit.
Oh, and, of course they are.
Ay, ay, ay. So anyhow, yeah, I'm sure that's all I'm going to talk about is all like right. Facts about the baby.
Okay.
Let's see. They're going to find out the sex because they don't want to be surprised. And that's all it's going to be.
Jeez. All right. And on that happy bombshell, we're going to wrap up for this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. And thank you guys for we've got a couple really nice compliments over on Twitter about DVD Verdict this week. It kind of warms my heart after all the 14 years we're going on this year. 14 years.
The cockles of your heart? Your whole heart or just the cockles?
Just the cockles.
Okay.
So it's the best I got right now. The rest of it's
so
all cold
and dead.
So
everybody else say some nice stuff. Let's warm his whole heart.
That's right. All right. But until then, take it away, Melissa Ann.
So how do you find the words to say goodbye? If your heart don't have the heart to say goodbye.